I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. Today on the show, I'll speak with Carol Dixon with the Assistance League of San Bernardino. She'll share some details about the upcoming 57th Annual Signature Headdress Ball that will be held on April 28th at the National Orange Show Event Center. Always a fun and colorful event. The Headdress Ball is a fundraiser for children in our community. And as Autism Awareness Month continues, I'll speak with Beth Burt, president of the Autism Society Inland Empire. She'll talk about autism and the organization's Autism Hero Walk, great for all ages. The walk is on April 22nd, and KVCR will have a booth at the event. It's all coming up on Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez, right after the news. Yeah, the simple things
in life. Support for Lifestyles on KVCR comes from Dr. Ingrid Trinkle in Redlands, providing medical and cosmetic dermatology, including PicoA laser treatments for tattoo removal. Information and a list of services online at clearmyink.com.
This is Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Carol Dixon with the San Bernardino Assistance League, part of a national organization. The San Bernardino chapter was the ninth chapter in the nation and was chartered in 1947. She's a member of League, and today she'll share details about the 57th Annual Signature Headdress Ball. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you for having me.
I'm a part of the Assistance League, and although I've moved on to Lake and Frere, explain what Assistance League is.
Assistance League is actually part of a larger national association called the National Assistance League. We were established in 1947, and we have two major philanthropic programs for children that we support. First is the Dr. Earl R. Crane Children's Dental Health Center, where we fix children's teeth whenever they need dental care, and Operation School Bell, where we actually go shopping with kids and buy them a brand new outfit.
And how are those children selected?
They are in the San Bernardino area, and the schools usually select the individuals, and the kids always come to the stores with aides or teachers. We actually get to take them shopping for brand new clothes, from shoes and socks and underwear and pants and shirts and jackets, and give them a full outfit.
Operation School Bell, as you've just described, is one of my favorite parts. I used to love taking the children shopping, and sometimes they were getting new clothes for the very first time. Many times they would get hand-me-downs. It always brought me great joy to watch their faces when they got new stuff for the first time just for them.
Yes, that's the best part. After we go through the checkout line and they have their bag, and they're so excited, and they just want to put their new clothes on and go show off.
Can you blame them?
No.
Explain a little bit about the dental center and what the dental center offers.
Actually, the league members go to the schools. Right now, they're doing sealants on children's teeth. Our dentist, whom we employ, actually goes with us, and they examine each of the kids' mouths right there in the school. And for those whose parents have given permission, they can actually apply sealants if they need them. Those that are very difficult cases are referred back to the dental center, and for very inexpensive to no cost, children are able to have their teeth fixed there at the dental center through our referrals.
I'm so glad that we're able to provide that. But the reason that we're able to provide that is because we have to raise funds and we put on the signature headdress ball. Explain for our listeners and paint a picture, if you can, of a headdress and what they look like, how they operate.
This year, for our 57th Annual Signature Headdress Ball, the theme is celebration, and we always have a new theme each year. So there's going to be a lot of glitz and sparkle and very beautiful headdresses this year. In keeping with that theme, we are sort of going through some of the holidays or the celebrations of life that people enjoy. We have a lot of guests this year, from designers to headdress models. And if you can imagine a woman standing maybe 5'5", and then from the top of her head extending maybe as high, I think one of our highest ones was 12 feet, but let's say 6 feet, 7, 8 feet, somewhere in that neighborhood, right off the top of her head is this very large, extravagant, beautiful creation. And so the designers put these together sort of to theme each of the numbers. In this case, we have 10 different headdress numbers that will be presented, and they come out with full choreography, so there's dancing, there's music. It's a very joyful event. To give you a couple of ideas, this year we're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and our designer is Brad Seeley, and our model is Christine Smith. and she is going to start out as Molly Malone. So if you can imagine all of the many shades of green and how beautiful that that's going to be for St. Patrick's Day. We have our former mayor of San Bernardino, Judith Valles, and she's
nice.
Going to be modeling a beautiful headdress that's Dia de los Muertos.
Nice.
That'll be kind of interesting and different. Some special situations. We are actually having a model from the Susan G. Komen Foundation representing breast cancer awareness. And, of course, her colors are going to be pink, as you might imagine. Judy Coates does a fantastic job, and she will be creating something beautiful for Christy Price, who is our model for that one.
For many, many years, actually maybe for about 50 years, it was always one of the Assistance League members, whether it was a current member or the Lake and Frere, which is the auxiliary group, that modeled. Maybe 8 or 10 years ago, they opened it up to the community. Why so?
I think because they really wanted to recognize such amazing work that other charities do in our area as well. I think we're stronger together, perhaps. Another thing this year that's kind of unique is we have invited Riverside's Assistance League as well as Redlands.
One of our sister chapters.
Those are our sister chapters, yes, in the area. So Barbara Hubline will be coming out, and she's actually going to be a bride. We're calling it the proposal, and we have several groomsmen who are trying to woo this beautiful bride. Bruno Mars, Marry Me. So that's kind of the music behind that one. It's going to be kind of fun. And we have Kathy Siglow coming out from the Assistance League of Redlands. So it's nice to really be able to work with those two other chapters as well as our own.
I'm speaking with Carol Dixon. She is the director of the 57th Annual Signature Headdress Ball put on by the San Bernardino Assistance League. Let's talk about the headdress themselves. You said it's on top of the woman's head, but really, could you explain how it's really happening? Because there's no way that she could balance it on her head.
Sure. The weight does not sit on top of her head. It actually sits on your hips through a contraption that we call a bar, sort of a helmet and a bar. There's a helmet that sits on your head that doesn't really touch necessarily because it's connected to a bar that's fitted right down the back against your neck and against your shoulders and your back, down to the small of your back where it actually is placed inside of a corset. The corset is laced extremely tight.
Extremely.
Extremely. And it keeps the headdress straight up and down. So most of the weight actually ends up on your hips as opposed to your head. Once this contraption is actually fitted to you, it's nice and snug. And when the designer puts as much as maybe 15 to 25 pounds of decor on top of this apparatus, the women are still able to move around generally comfortably because it's balanced. You know, it's up to the designer to make sure that these headdresses are well balanced so you can carry off something that is, you know, maybe twice your size.
We've been doing this. I've been in league probably 15 years. You've been in a little bit longer than I have. How did it grow? Did it start as a little hat luncheon and it grew to this, or do you know?
Yeah, it started with hats, you know, ladies luncheon, basically. There was a hat contest, and of course people would try to outdo each other and get a bigger and better hat. And then one year, a couple of members actually went to Los Angeles and they saw the Las Floristas Ball, where they do very large headdresses there, and they got the idea, well, you know, if they can do it, maybe we can. So that's where it sort of began. At first, it was more of a pageant where they would just walk out and model like a runway show. It got bigger and bigger because now they wanted music, and with music, you have to have dancing, and when you have dancing, you have to have choreography, and so it's turned into quite the show. We say that it's a kind of a cross between a Las Vegas Revue and the PTA.
That's a good way to describe it. That's very interesting. The headdress itself, sometimes they're flowers, sometimes they're plumes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, can you paint a picture of some of the props, maybe, that are used in some of the headdresses?
We use a number of different types of materials. The key is to try and keep things as light as possible. I've seen a tomato cage. I've seen a bird cage. Of course, you don't realize that's what they are because they're certainly decorated to look completely different. They've used pinatas. Oh, we've had a car before. One of our members, LaVon Nolan, who's in a wheelchair, we actually created an entire car for her with a big headdress that shot off the back so she didn't have to carry the weight, and she was able to drive her car around on stage. Lots of different materials, electronic gadgets, things that pop. Confetti comes out of them sometimes. They glow in the dark. So you can just imagine so many different types of things that the designers use, and they are so creative, and it's really a joy to see all of this imagination and fun come together.
Now, we've both been models. I know you've modeled and been the director and been the chairman.
As have you.
Yeah. I have had different experiences. The one year that was the Beatles, I had a very small headdress, which I loved because I could do a lot of dancing. And one year when it was Viva Las Vegas, I had the largest headdress I could imagine. And while it gets the oohs and the ahs in the crowd, you really can't dance to it. And I love the part where we get to dance. Last year, celebrating San Bernardino. San Bernardino Strong, and yes. I did the food chains because Baker's was from here, Del Taco is from here and such. And I had a fun headdress that was kind of medium size, so I could dance. So I think the designers are all very different. So if you think you've seen them all, you have not, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they are a variety of sizes. I do remember the year you modeled for Las Vegas, and that monster was huge.
It was. I was supposed to be Anne Margaret. I don't think I did much Anne Margaret for anybody. If listeners are interested, if we've enticed them and teased them enough about this event, how do they get information? And let's talk about the dates and times.
This is going to be happening on Saturday, April 28th at the National Orange Show Event Center. There are two performances. We have a matinee at 9:30 in the morning, and we have an evening gala that starts at 5 p.m. So they can come to either of those. In order to get tickets, quite honestly, they can just Google Headdress Ball San Bernardino, which will give them more information about how to obtain tickets.
That's Carol Dixon talking about the 57th Annual Signature Headdress Ball with two performances on Saturday, April 28th. Just Google San Bernardino Headdress Ball for more information. After the break, I'll speak with Beth Burt with the Autism Society Inland Empire, who is working to raise funds for families in the IE. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Joining me now is Beth Burt with the Autism Society Inland Empire. I started our conversation by asking her to describe autism.
So autism is a neurological disorder that affects communication, social, and behavior. And that can range from somebody who is completely nonverbal to somebody who what we would call is a little professor, who is very highly verbal and will tell you everything they need or they think you need to know about whatever their interest is. These are people we're seeing more and more on media, on The Good Doctor, for instance, somebody very highly intelligent but has poor social skills, to somebody in our generation, the Rain Man type of character who doesn't have a lot of language, has a lot of behavior, but still has great gifts. And that's one of the messages that we want to say with autism is that no matter how much language you have or how much social you have, everybody has gifts. And our jobs as parents and teachers and professionals is finding those gifts and helping them become wonderful, productive members of our society that are valued.
Speaking of becoming productive members of the community, when they age out of high school, these young people with some very special talents and some great minds able to join the workforce or go on to college?
We have currently an 88 to 98% unemployment rate in the autism world, and that's not acceptable. These are young people who have gone through years of therapy. Parents have fought really hard for school services, and now they're aging out and hitting the adult service system. So we've been working collaboratively with a number of agencies coming up with some innovative programs here in the Inland Empire. Going back to the art would be, you know, Inclusion Films has come out here with the Made It program, and that's Joey Travolta's program that helps young people go through a two-year program to work on film, acting, writing, and jobs, not just around those, but how do you be a member of a team? How do you reach group consensus? So these are skills that they could take anywhere. And that program is very successful. And I think one of the reasons is because it is an area of interest. We have so many young people that movies is an area of interest, and that's why they're more willing to learn about social skills and some of the skills that go around that. Why can't we do that with art or animals, any of the other areas of interest? And that's been our challenge, is how do we fund those pilot programs to see if this works?
So we're talking about the other end of high school, but what about a parent that is just starting to see that their child, something's different or odd? What are signs that one could look for, you know, when someone has a child, a toddler? How early can it be detected?
First of all, never underestimate the power of a mom. Mm. I've never, in my almost 17 years of doing this, I've never met a mom's instincts who was wrong. Trust your instincts. And if you believe something's wrong, keep pushing until you find out the answers. So some of the concerns that family members might have is the lack of talking, the lack of social awareness. So one of the keys, and it seems so simple, is pointing. So young children usually will point at something. Maybe it's a bird or a dog outside the window. And then they'll turn back and look at the parent to see if the parent is looking at the same thing that they're doing. And that's usually one of the missing factors. You also have toe walking, fine motor issues, maybe kind of lining up the toys so they're not playing with toys appropriately. All of these could be signs, and maybe not. So maybe it's something that you go in your pediatrician and tell them, this is what I'm seeing. Nowadays, we've got these great phones, right? And if there's behavior that you see, take a short video of it to show the doctor. And maybe it's that they just need some speech services or occupational therapy services, and it's not the full-blown autism diagnosis. They can actually diagnose autism as early as 18 months. Frequently, they won't do it until 2.5 or 3, sometimes even later. Early intervention is key. The more services you can get, the better chance they have later in life.
My guest is Beth Burt, president of the Autism Society Inland Empire, also referred to ASIE. With April being Autism Awareness Month, we want to talk a little bit about what ASIE is and how they serve the community. What is the mission of ASIE?
Our mission is the same mission we've had for the last 31 years, to improve the lives of all affected by autism. And one of the things I can say is I'm very proud about our organization is that we serve all levels of autism, all ages of autism throughout the Inland Empire.
And how do you do that? What do you do that makes life better for those living with autism in our community?
Well, we are very busy and we continue to grow. Right now, there's over 13,000 individuals with autism, and that doesn't include the over 50,000 family members. So autism doesn't just affect the child, it affects the parents, the grandparents, and the siblings. And one of the things we do is provide fun family events. These are also opportunities for families to network, get support and resources. We make them family events because it's important that the entire family is there. Often a parent will be taking a child to therapy, and where's the sibling waiting out in the waiting room? So this makes kind of autism fun for the whole family, that they get to go to Legoland or the Cove Water Park. Even having sensory-friendly movies is important because, again, it's a whole family event.
When you said the number, I think you said 13,000?
Yes.
Is that individuals diagnosed here in the Inland Empire?
Yes, and that represents 10% of the state total.
So many times families don't know about the Autism Society and the resources that it brings.
We served over 6,000 people last year alone, but we still run into one of our biggest issues is people confusing our organization with Autism Speaks.
And what's the difference?
Well, Autism Speaks, and it's a great organization. They do a lot of research and public awareness, but we're here boots on the ground serving our families here locally. So often people will say, oh, I went to the Rose Bowl to walk at your walk. And we would have to say, oh, that's not us. That's Autism Speaks. And that money doesn't come back to the Inland Empire. All the funds that we raise here impact our families here through educational workshops, our information and referral lines, public policy, our advocacy and outreach, and then our family and support groups.
So when is the walk?
Sunday, April 22nd at Silver Lake Sports Complex in Norco. We have over 70 resource tables there. We're doing a safety awareness fair this year that will have law enforcement coming out, fire departments. This year we have A-Skate Foundation, which is a foundation that helps young people who are interested in skateboarding.
Oh.
But it is also a fundraiser, so we can continue to serve the families. We offer almost all of our programs free or very low cost, so it's important for us to provide these services affordably to our families.
I'm speaking with Beth Burt, president of the Autism Society Inland Empire, and we're talking about the walk. Why is this the place to go for our families?
One of our challenges that many families may not understand is we always have to have a backup plan. What if it's too loud? What if it's too bright? What's my escape? Sometimes that means paying a lot of money and then having to turn around and leave in 5 minutes because it's just not working. Besides the disappointment of not being able to attend the event.
You mean any event in general?
Any event in general, okay. Yes. So with our walk, we know that that's part of our population's challenges. We have a sensory corner. It's kind of a safe, quiet place that we have occupational therapists running it. So if somebody's running into trouble, it's too loud. We have headphones that we've purchased so families can borrow those. But it's giving them a safe place. We are all families who've been there. So there's no judgment. And I can't even underscore the value of being able to go somewhere and not being judged because your son or daughter is flapping or screeching or yelling or it's too loud. It's all safe because it's people who've been there.
So who can participate in this walk and how do they get involved?
Anybody can participate in this walk, whether you're a family member or a community person, a grandparent. You can visit our website at www.ieautism.org. It's $35 for adults. Children 13 to 17 are going to be $10. Children 12 and under are free, and individuals with autism are free.
So let's say I have a family that wants to be in it. Is there, I don't know, soft competition or anything like that that can be fun? And do they get something if they raise a lot of money, or how does that work?
Yes, we do encourage individuals to come up with groups or teams. Sometimes we'll dress up as superheroes. They have their own T-shirts, and they challenge each other. Special prize for the team that raises the most money. They are the ones that get to lead the walk. And then we do have prizes. So at the 25, 50, and on up, they get different prizes.
KBCR typically has a booth there. What other fun things are there?
Well, we have bubbles. Bubbles seem to be back by popular demand. This year, we have an art garden, which I'm really excited about. We have quite a few artists who happen to have autism, and we're going to be having their framed artwork, and we're calling it an art garden. So as we're walking around our pathway for the walk, all the families get to view the art. We also have what we call a marketplace. We are promoting young people with autism and their entrepreneurial skills. So we have 7 young entrepreneurs, and they're able to kind of dabble in, is this something they want to do? So whether it's art or making jewelry, or if they have a service to offer, this is a way for them to outreach free of charge for them.
And so they get to sell their product or sell their service. So kind of micro-enterprising?
Exactly, micro-enterprise, to see if it's something that they like, again, in a safe environment. So maybe if their social skills aren't the best or if they get stuck, we have people standing by who can assist.
If people would like to participate in the walk or get involved with Autism Society, remind us where we go.
ieautism.org.
Beth, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Beth Burt is the president of the Autism Society Inland Empire, inviting the community to join her at the Autism Walk on April 22nd in Norco. Information at ieautism.org. That's our show. If you have a chance, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and share ideas of topics or guests you'd like to hear on the show. Don't forget, now is a great time to make a pledge and tell the operator Lillian sent you. We appreciate your support. Thanks to all who make this show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wadd, Sean Houlihan, Roger Ashheim, and executive producer Rick Dulock. And thanks to Ethan Bortnick for our theme music. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.
Yeah, Support for Lifestyles on KVCR comes from Dr. Ingrid Trinkle in Redlands, providing medical and cosmetic dermatology, including PicoA laser treatments for tattoo removal. Information and a list of services online at clearmyinc.com.